لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا أهل القرآن، how is everyone doing? I hope and pray everybody is doing well inshallah wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us and keep us away from any shar there is. Ameen summa ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we concluded juz 2nd, alhamdulillah, yesterday. And subhanallah, subhanallah, loaded with commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you remember the theme of the juz? Yes? It was my focal point. And why we chose this name? What was the special commandment given or event happened that was so overwhelming and so powerful? It was the direction of Qibla. It was changed from Baitul Maqdis to Khana Kaaba. Right? And Kaaba was made the new Qibla, inshallah ta'ala. So, while I was, yes, Baitullah, while I was listening yesterday, it kept on popping in my mind, subhanallah, the level of Iman of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions. It was not a slight right or left turn. It was completely the opposite direction. So, I mean, it was so overwhelming. And I was thinking, do we have that kind of belief that we follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment without any reservation? We do so many ifs and buts. Although the commandment will be so clear, but we just are so hesitant to follow that. So we have to really work on that, inshallah wa ta'ala. And the other thing to be noted is that although Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the chosen prophet, and it was his wish and desire, he loved Kaaba. And when he was in Medina, he could not face Kaaba and pray. But still, he waited for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment. So, I'm thinking that for any action or anything we want to do, do we consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do? Or we just take action just because, although we do not have no authority whatsoever. So we have to check our attitude in the light of Sahaba's action, that are we submissive? Or we try to find reasons for acting or not acting upon a certain commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We really have to check ourselves. And what big responsibility we were given in the beginning ayahs. What we were told, what we are made. Ummate was. Yes, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us ummate was. So, we could carry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah to the world. So now we have to assess ourselves, are we doing it? So the first, before we do it, it's before do anything, we have to learn. And Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we are sitting here to learn. So we have taken the first step, subhanAllah. So the Jews of Medina, they denied Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because of their arrogance. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not one of them. That made them just deny totally. Although they knew he was the Prophet they were waiting for, but they chose to just not bring iman on him. So we have to check our actions. We have to see that do we accept or reject a certain advice or a reminder just because that advice is not coming from a scholar we follow? Yes, stay upon their forefathers' path. Yes, that was right too, alhamdulillah. So it's just a reminder, dear sisters, that Haq is being sent by our Rabb through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the ultimate reality. And with our actions, we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, race towards goodness. Right? Then we were reminded that people of iman should exercise patience and salah. Right? So we belong to Allah, and indeed we will return to Him. Then we have to answer for any and everything we did in this world, right or wrong, either way. And we'll have no one to, you know, support us. We will be all alone in front of our Lord. So imagine we are in front of the Lord whenever we are doing any kind of action. If we are doing good deed, we have to check our intention. And if we are doing anything bad, we have to remember Allah is witnessing us. Allah is there. The angels are writing everything we are doing. So that would, inshallah wa ta'ala, save us from doing anything wrong, bismillah. And then we have to strive to do good. We have to strive to do on our own islah and to do continuous repentance. That was reminded too, alhamdulillah. Then we learned that a believer should have a strong love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should ponder over the signs of His existence, right? Which will in return bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of our Lord will keep us away from all the regrets of the Day of Judgment. If we are in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, follow all His commandments, and then inshallah wa ta'ala, we will be saved from the regrets of Day of Judgment. Then, alhamdulillah, we were reminded that we have to consume only what is tayyib and not to follow shaitan's footsteps. So numerous times you will, inshallah wa ta'ala, listen in upcoming chapters that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him as the open enemy. Just because of his attitude, and he is so good to his promise, what he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's trying his level best to astray whoever he can. So we don't have to follow his footsteps. And then subhanallah, true picture of Islam in Ayatul Bir, alhamdulillah, we were given the different parts of the, we learned our aqidah, meaning our faith, mu'amlat, meaning our dealings, ibadat, meaning our worships, and ikhlaqiyat, meaning our character. Subhanallah, the whole theme. Then we were told that Islam is the deen of justice. And then different commandments were given. Subhanallah, it's, you know, going through just the commandments, it's just a glimpse, just a like teaser, you know, like, okay, we have to believe this. But in order to learn them fully, it is so very important to learn our Quran in depth.
So inshallah wa ta'ala, while we are in the process of learning, we will do loads of du'as, and we will make our intention to learn Quran in depth inshallah wa ta'ala later in our lives, inshallah wa ta'ala, after the Ramadan maybe. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed as the people of faith. The commandment of qasas was given, wasiyah, fasting, husband and wife's relationships, on consuming wealth and how to spend it, rulings on Hajj and Umrah, rights of orphans, how to choose spouse, and rulings on marriage from marriage to divorce. Subhanallah, what a deen. Not a single part was left out. So we have to be really careful and to learn all these commandments that we were advised and we were guided what we are supposed to follow. So now my question is it enough to just learn these commandments just by reading the translation? Right? Is it just enough to read the translation? So what we have to do? We will, inshallah wa ta'ala, make dua. We have to follow it, yes. Alhamdulillah, follow it, but we have to learn them in detail, right? So half knowledge is not enough. You have to get the whole knowledge, inshallah wa ta'ala. Right? Understand deeply, yes, exactly. So, you know what? And we will, inshallah, work towards achieving that goal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says himself, وَإِذَا سَأَلَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to call upon him, then what better time then is to ask his Quran's gathering and the angels' gathering. Quran is, right, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gathering. We're learning his words, right? Learn the tafsir, of course, yes, later you have to learn the tafsir. So inshallah wa ta'ala, do loads of du'as while you are in the gathering of angels, and then angels will say Ameen to your all the du'as. And let's see now what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored for us in juz 3, and for that we will go to Atlanta, Georgia, where our live session of Journey Through Quran is done by Sister Faiza. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asmul jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakallah khairan kaseera, sister. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're on our third juice today already. Can you imagine? Today's juice is so amazing. When I was, you know, preparing for this class, and I was wondering why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us through such a blessing. And today's juice, you have so many gems. I really want you, all of you, to make niyyah right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to grab as much as we can. Due to the time, we won't be able to do justice with the ayahs, but inshallah, we'll try to touch upon some important ayahs, because today's lesson is filled with ayahs. Today we will also begin Surah Al-Ali Imran as well. And you will realize and learn that the Ali Imran is very different from Surah Al-Baqarah. Once we begin Ali Imran, we'll talk about that. But for now, I want you to, all of us, listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs of Juz 3. Do you know why? Because when we start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and actually connecting to the real Arabic word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the impact that you and I have, is there is nothing like it. So let's listen to the few ayahs and then we'll continue with the tafsir, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن شاء الله while they're preparing for the tafsir. Okay, it's here, alhamdulillah.
تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات وآتينا عيسى بن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس ولو شاء الله ما اقتتل الذين من بعدهم من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم
الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Just three, inshallah, we're going to begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's seek refuge in shaitan, from shaitan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't want shaitan to interrupt us in any way possible and we are able to focus 100% on this lesson, in this journey. Do you know why? If you don't seek refuge in from shaitan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what happens, right? There's so many distractions in life. So let's say it out loud together. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. And then bismillah. Why? Because the name of Allah, whenever you say it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts your focus 100% towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, today's theme for the juz 3 is hikmah. Do you know why I chose this theme? Because this juz is filled with the things that we can learn today and apply in our daily lives and that are related to hikmah. Hikmah, what is hikmah? Hikmah is basically a wisdom, an authority, a decision-making power. Anything, everything when you say and do at the right moment, the right time, the right way, the right thing. And this is basically hikmah. The word hikmah is very, very deep word. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we all make it possible for us to get the hikmah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran and ayah number 267 which will come today, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا And whoever has been given wisdom has certainly been given much good. Now, before we begin the juz 3, just a quick reminder from yesterday. As we have learned yesterday that we are given the title of Ummat al-Wasat, meaning the middle nation, and we have a job to do. In order to do that job, we all need hikmah. In this today's juz, we will learn two important things that are needed to do the job of Ummat al-Wasat. As we know that it is not a choice, it is a mandatory for all of us to do the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. For that, one thing we will learn today is to who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ayat al-Kursi. And after that, the second most important thing we will learn is giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person opens up his heart for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him hikmah. And when hikmah comes, only then we can do this job the best way possible. Also, in today's juz, if you go to the next slide, we will see that there are lots of ahkam, meaning there's lots of do's and don'ts today. And if we follow them, only then we can do the job of giving this knowledge and passing on, establishing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will talk in this detail about the money matters. Basically, today's lesson, the big chunk of it will be about money-related issues. How to spend money, what to have, and where to spend, and how much to spend, and where not to spend. And what are some of the ways when your spending goes to waste. So today's lesson is really, really important. And then, of course, there will be a lot of du'as in there. You know why? Because just Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran is filled with du'as. And of course, the last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, which will come today, they are amazing. They are those which were revealed in up in the heavens. They are special ayahs, inshallah. And of course, and when Surah Ali Imran will begin, this is the story of the family of Imran, which is an amazing story. And you will see the difference between Surah Al-Baqarah main themes and the Surah Al-Ali Imran personality. And then we have to have yaqeen. We will not be able to make dua with yaqeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the chosen people. Let's make dua in the beginning right now that, oh Allah, make it possible for me to grab as much as it's possible for me to grab and make it implementable for me. You know why? Because knowledge is only good if it's implemented, or else it becomes like a burden that a donkey carries. With that, we're going to start with the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and asked Aisha radiallahu anha, so what is there which is left? She said, oh, today the goat was slaughtered and we actually gave all of it away and I only saved some pieces of meat. So she brought them and she said, they are the one which is left. You know what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? The one which is left, it's gone. The one that you have given already, that's the one we have left. So the point of sharing this hadith is the time that you're about to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala learning this book is the time which will remain with you in the hereafter. And the time that you spend for yourself, it will be gone in this dunya. So what we learn here is that be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are given the ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spend time in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, first ayah of today's juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with a special message here. And the message here is, you can write the topic of this ayah, that do not get into personalities. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made each one of us with different personalities. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the prophets. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَبَلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. Those messengers, some of them we caused to exceed others. Among them were those to whom Allah spoke, and He raised some of them in degree. And we have Jesus, the Son of Mary, clear proofs, and we supported Him with a pure spirit. And if Allah had willed, those generations succeeding them would not have fought each other after the clear proofs had come to them. But they deferred, and some of them believed, and some of them disbelieved. And if Allah had willed, they would not have fought each other. But Allah does what He intends. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn that each prophet was given different skills. Each prophet was given different miracles and different abilities and capabilities and qualities. And as a believer, it is our job to accept every one of them the way they are. We cannot say one prophet is better than other. to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of them, and all of them have a special place. It's like this. When you see a flower bouquet, what do you see? You see different flowers, and you cannot say pick and choose. Only purple flower is good and not the pink one, because every flower is complete in its own beauty, structure, looks, and everything. So the lesson for you and I, that all prophets we must believe in, we cannot say, sometimes Muslims make this mistake. They say we are Ummati Muhammadi, meaning we only believe in Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they kind of ignore the rest of the prophets. We learn in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made every prophet special, and it is a part of our belief to believe in every prophet. Some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave special qualities like Isa alayhi salam, some of them were given qualities like Yusuf alayhi salam, some of them were given qualities like Nuh alayhi salam, and of course, our Prophet, beloved Messenger, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was given the highest status, and that is that he was made the Prophet for the whole mankind. So, inshallah, this is something very important. Use and know your quality. Don't be jealous of others, what they can do, because you are special in your own way, and be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ. O you who have believed. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking in this ayah with you and I. Listen attentively what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, spend. Spend from that which we have provided. People generally forget. They think that I am the one who's earning money. My husband is the one who's bringing the paycheck. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am the one who's providing you. So this is why all the wealth and whatever we have, it's by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should spend where? Do you think that we should spend all of it on ourselves? I'm not saying that don't spend on yourself. Of course, it is also an ibadah if you have right intention. But think of the ratio and proportion. When the paycheck comes for a month, where does the majority, the bulk of paycheck goes? Obviously, the bulk of paycheck goes on your personal needs, your housing, your shelter, your food, your clothing, your family. It is okay. But think about it. It all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever you spend, even if you spend on your family, do it with the correct intention that this is for Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us responsible to serve our family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the money and all those other things so we can live comfortably, so that we can do the job of Ummat al-Wasat. And then, inshallah, Allah will accept everything. And then we have provided for you. There comes a day in which there is no exchange, that is ransom, and no friendship, and no intercession. And the disbelievers, they are wrongdoers. Do you know what we learn here? Many lessons here, meaning that time is of the essence. We need to spend now before it's too late. You know what people do? People make plans. Oh, I'm going to do this and save this much for my future generations. Well, guess what? When you and I are gone from this dunya, then we cannot make the decisions change. And we don't really have to save money for the heirs. Yes, they have a right, whatever left over. But whatever you spend now, while you're breathing, that's what you're going to get over there for yourself. So, the important lesson from this, whatever you need to spend, don't think, don't just wait, just spend it now. And you know why? Because on the day of judgment, no friendship, those same heirs that you saved money for, they may not come in there and help you, because you will be on your own. So Allah says in the next ayah, and this is a beautiful ayah, ayah number 255, which is Ayat al-Kursi. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah? Ayat al-Kursi is an amazing ayah. It has lot of virtues. Whoever recites Ayat al-Kursi before going to bed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be suffice for him. And Allah, after every salah, whoever recites Ayat al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's nothing in between you and the Jannah, meaning only the only thing holding is the basically your life once the death comes, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, you need to know what Ayatul Kursi means. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we learn this Ayatul Kursi, it gets into our heart. Open your mushaf and highlight. You should have a pencil in there, because here now we're learning the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are some of the attributes? According to Mufassirin, in Ayatul Kursi, there are about 25 names and attributes you can extract from it. Why? Because there is such a deep ayah, and it is filled with the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then once you recite Ayatul Kursi the way it's supposed to be recited, by feeling the love and the magnificence and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept it. So let's understand this ayah. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Ayatul Kursi with the word Allah, meaning, that's it. Try to say this word Allah right now with the bottom of your heart and feel it. And then you negate anything other than Allah. La ilaha, meaning you must have to negate other stuff that is in your life. Just feel Allah only in your heart right now. And then, you know why you should do that? Because illa huwal hayyul qayyum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, there is no deity except Him, and He is the ever-living and self-sustaining. These two names, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, are the Ism-e Adam, meaning these are the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that with that, if you ask du'a, your du'as are accepted. So try to know that Allah is the one who is ever-existing. There is no beginning to Him, and there is no end to Him. You know why? Because if you think about you and I, we think we are this and we are that, but we were never there. We were born in this dunya for a time being, and we will be gone one day. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is everlasting and ever living. So this should fill your heart that you are nobody and Allah is everything. And then you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is al-hayyu and al-qayyum. Qayyum means the one who sustains everything. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I cannot even breathe. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like a baby is in the need of a mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is sustaining us. Allah is the one who is sustaining the sky. Look at the sky outside the window. Is it falling down on you? Do you see any pillars that are holding up the sky? It is Al-Qayyum who is holding everything in its place. And this is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is holding not just you and I, but the whole universe, all those extra celestial bodies that you see and learn about, all those huge structures, all the universe and all the other worlds, all the other planets, all the Milky Way, all the things under the earth, all the things over the earth, all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, He is sustaining all of them. Then we learn that لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, neither drowsiness overtakes him nor sleep, meaning that you and I, if I tell you don't sleep for two nights, can you survive? No, you'll be having such a hard time. And people say, the science has proved that a human body is in need of sleep. Even if they are suffering too much, when the sleep is deprived, they basically, immune system goes low. So, and they cannot survive and they cannot live without sleeping. They may survive without eating, but they cannot survive without sleeping. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't sleep. And think about it. If Allah doesn't sleep, not even for a single second, He doesn't even get drowsy. What about you and I? Who are we? We get drowsy all the time. We get tired all the time. So what we can do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is give up our sleep, at least portion of it, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Month of Ramadan is coming, inshaAllah, and you and I can really give some time. Wake up for the Qiyamul Layl and really deprive of ourselves for some part of the sleep so we can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. And then we learn, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, basically, to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. While listening and saying this phrase of the ayah, you should realize, is there anything that comes in your mind that doesn't belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there isn't, then our heart should humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the one we are standing for. He is the one we are sitting here learning His book for. And you know this Quran that you're learning? This is the only thing that is not created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest which we know or we don't know, it is all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how important this Quran is. You know why? Because this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs to the one who is Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. They are the true original word of Allah. Can you imagine? Try to feel that you are able by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ زَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ إِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. And then to him belongs whatever is on the heavens and the earth, and whatever is, and who is the one, who is it that can intercede with him except by his permission. Meaning, nobody can save us. If Allah doesn't will to save us, we will not be saved. If Allah stops everybody to speak on our behalf, nobody can help us. So what we learn from this is we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to give up ourselves 100% in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is nothing can do anything for you. If you can ask your child to give you a water, glass of water, if it's not willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not listen to you. Don't we experience this whenever we try to do something, and if it doesn't happen, do you know why? Because it is not the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knows the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds, and then He knows what is presently before them and what will be after them. Meaning Allah's knowledge is 100% complete. Do you know what you were doing 1 year from now, the same time and same day? You probably don't remember. What about the next last 10 years, do you remember anything? And then what about the upcoming 10 years? Do you know what you're going to do? Our knowledge is very limited. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the complete knowledge. And then we learn here is that, and they encompass not a thing of His knowledge except for what He wills. Meaning, whatever knowledge we have, it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a very limited kind. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and their preservation tires Him not. Allah's kursi is basically a footstool where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resides on His throne. If the footstool is as wide, as big as the bigger than heavens and earth, imagine the arsh himself. Imagine the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself. And imagine if the throne is so huge, imagine the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. We're not supposed to imagine, because our minds cannot even fathom the fact how big and huge and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is. This is why we need to recite Ayat al-Kursi in this dunya and have this desire that, oh Allah, give us Jannah so we can get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you and I have this desire to see Allah, inshallah, Allah will guide you in a right path, because we have already made the dua, and this is why we're sitting here to get the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this world easy on us. So we have this mindset to seek the pleasure of Allah and see His countenance on a day of judgment. And then His preservation of all these things doesn't tire Him, because He is tireless. And He is the most high, the most great. You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing us in this Ayat al-Kursi? The reason being, because the next topic that is about to come is also about giving. And once people ask you to give, they need to know where are you giving and why are you giving and who are you giving it for. So this is why the placement of this Ayat al-Kursi in such an amazing place. You know why? Because now you are going to learn money matters. And when it comes to money, people are very careful. They don't want to spend money on anything that they don't want to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember and realize who is the one who is asking you to give money. It is Allah. And who is Allah? It is Ayat al-Kursi. Next time, when are you learning these ayahs, inshallah, now, and when later when you learn these ayahs in greater detail, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your heart. Before we get into these ayahs, let's learn these two ayahs right after Ayatul Kursi. La ikraha fid deen. After describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, you know what? There shall be no compulsion in deen. Meaning, if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you still refuse, then nobody's forcing you. Do you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the Day of Judgment, I told you everything. The choice was yours. There is no compulsion. Nobody's forcing you to accept what Allah is. And make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to really internalize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and we can be able to do the job of Ummat-e Wasat and entice others and give them information and connect them. Because remember, we are those connection wire who can bring others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The right course has become distinct from the wrong, meaning now you know what is right and what is wrong. So whoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, Taghut is anything that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. Lan tusama laha. What does that mean? That everything else doesn't matter, whatever it is, no matter how exciting it may sound to you, it will take you to hellfire. If you only make a strong handhold with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then only you are saved. What it means is that you and I will get lost in this dunya if we don't make sure that we hold ourselves tightly to our iman by coming back to book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day, every single moment of our life. And Allah is hearing and knowing, meaning there is no way, there is no other way in salvation other than the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the way you can secure yourself is when you connect yourself to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or else there are too many ta'ud, meaning too many distractions in this dunya that are calling you every single minute. We nowadays have this little tiny device in our hands which keep us distracted all the time. People, even grown up, have a hard time putting the phone down. Imagine the kids. This is why it is so important that we feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us hikmah so we can get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. I want you to highlight this ayah. Allah is the ally, meaning Allah is the friend of those who believe. Can you imagine? Just because you are a believer, Allah wants to become a friend of you. He brings them out of the darkness into the light. Whoever takes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his friend, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. Question, do we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be on our side? Then let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen my iman. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them out from the darkness into the light. And those who disbelieve, their allies are Taghut. What do we understand here? That Taghut, if there is no Allah in your life, guess what? You have Taghut in your life. So you and I can really check, where is my inclination? Towards Allah or towards the Taghut of this world? They take them out of the light into the darknesses. If a person attaches himself to the Taghut, then he will be lost in the darknesses. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide eternally therein. Have you not considered the one with Ibrahim alayhi salam about his Lord merely because Allah has given him kingship? When Ibrahim said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and I cause death. Ibrahim said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Do you know what we learn in this ayah? Whenever you have to argue on the basis of something that is strong and that is proven. You know, when people sit down in a living room and they argue about things that they don't even have any knowledge. We need to learn here from our role model, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was arguing with who? With the king of the time, Why? Because he had enough guts. Do you know where the guts came from? Because of his iman. Listen here. When we have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you enough confidence to speak up the truth. If you and I can check ourselves, if we don't have enough guts to speak up what is right and what is wrong, we need to check. The second lesson we learned here is that we need to talk with the proof, with the authentic information. Don't just say what you want to say. Say what you have to say, which is the truth. Ibrahim alayhi salam brought such a solid evidence that who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and this is what you and I need to do. Or consider such an example as the one who passed by a township which had fallen into ruin. He said, how will Allah bring this to life after its death? So Allah caused him to die for 100 years. Then he received him and he said, how long have you remained? He, the man, said, I have remained a day or a part of the day. He said, rather, you have remained 100 years. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has a doubt in the mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show you miracles in this dunya too. This story is about Uzair alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him to sleep for 100 years and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wake him up. And then when it was asked to him, how long did you sleep? He said, remained a day or a part of the day. He said, rather, you have remained 100 years. Who said that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. Look at your food and your drink. It has not changed with time. You know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that? To show people, you and I, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of everything. If he can wake a person up in this dunya after 100 years, don't you think that you and I will be waking up in the day of resurrection? Basically, this ayah gives us the iman in waking up on the day of resurrection. And look at the donkey, you, and we will make you a sign for the people. And look at the bones of the donkey, how we raised them and then we covered them with flesh. And when it became clear to him, he said, I know that Allah is over all things competent. Can we say this from our heart? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي. And mention when Ibrahim said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you not believed? He said, yes, but I ask only that my heart may be satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this miracle. Allah said, take 4 birds and commit them to yourself. Then after slaughtering them, put on each hill a portion of them. Then call them. They will come flying to you in haste and know that Allah is exalted in might and wise. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed this miracle to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Because you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a person for his job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them haqqul yaqeen, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them see it so they can have the strongest belief so they can give out and pass out the information. You and I can make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, oh Allah, give me yaqeen, give me strong handhold, give me isbat, meaning give me thabit qadam, meaning strong, firm feet, so I can stay on my deen. The example of those who spent, and now from ayah numbers 261, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, after having the yaqeen that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that who is the description of ayat al-kursi, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will resurrect us on the day of judgment. Now our heart should be open up to learn about these money matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. That you know why? Because money is something that people have the strong love. And when it comes to money, they'd like to hold on to it. After describing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wake you up on a day of resurrection, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ, meaning the example of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like a seed. I want you to imagine if a farmer has a seed in his hand. If you have a seed, when springtime is here, when you plant a seed, what happens? If imagine a person who gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is like a seed which grows 7 spikes. In each spike, 100 grain, and Allah multiplies his reward from whom he wills. And Allah is all encompassing and knowing. You know, when a farmer spreads one seed and when the tree comes, plant comes from it, like think of an example of a wheat plant and it has so many things. And if every strand have 100 seeds and 700 times it multiplies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it doesn't even limit there. You know what we learn here? When we give, when you spend something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by spending, I do not mean the spending that we have to do a mandatory spending, that is zakah, that for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word zakah. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not using the word zakah. You know why? Because the spending here is about the money and the skills and the things that we have, which are beyond the mandatory requirement of zakah. So think about the rest of the 97.5% that you and I own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to spend from that. And that each seed can yield so many. Now imagine if you eat, if a seed is sown and the plant and a tree comes out and a lot of people eat from it and they keep on growing from that, and from there the generations grow. Can you imagine how far that seed could go? The seed, the only one seed, the only one penny, the only one dollar that you spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the way when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being spread. And in that cause, to promote the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I may die tomorrow, but somebody who can learn from this and they can continue from generations to come, maybe it will last you until the day of judgment. Because there's a story of Usman radiallahu anhu. He bought the well and he devoted it for Muslims. And that well, do you know, after 1400 years, it still exists in his name. The utility bills still come on his name. And do you know that people are still benefiting? And do you know that the half of the wealth from that is collected, accumulated from this, it goes to a bank account, and the half of the wealth is used to needy and widow, and the other half it goes to the maintenance of Masjid al-Haram. Can you imagine? Now you and I, Usman radiallahu anhu knew that his deed will be accepted, so much so that after he's gone, 1400 years later, the year will happen. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means from this ayah. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up yours and my heart. And then those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and they do not follow up what they have spent with reminders or it or other injury will have the reward with their Lord, and there will be no fear concerning them. What do we learn here? When a person devotes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them from fear and sorrow. And the kind speech and forgiveness are better than charity followed by injury. And Allah is free of need and forbearing. What do we learn here? Once you give the money, don't feel bad. Don't regret, oh, why did I give? I was emotional at the time. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, you who have believed. Now, another address to our believers. Do not invalidate your charities with reminders of it or injury, as does one who spends his wealth only to be seen by the people. What do we learn here? When you give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the right intention. Intention matters a lot. Some people give it so that they can so that people can really appreciate them and so they can be praised. Some people like to give and show off. And this actually ruins it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it. Imagine if a person who earns money with a haram way and he is the one who gives $100,000 to a masjid. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it? And if he has a reason to show off, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it? This is what we learn here. And if a person gives to his family and poor relatives so that they can be under him, so he can rule them, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it? So this is what we learn here, where not to spend and how not to spend the money. So at the end of the day, it invalidates your charities with reminders or injury, as does one who spends his wealth only to be seen by people. Meaning, do not show off and does not believe in Allah and the last day. You know when people show off? When they forget about the day of judgment, that I have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the intention is not 100% sincere. His example is like of that, a large smooth stone upon which is dust and is hit by the account for that leaves it bare. There, they are unable to keep anything of what they have earned, and Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. And the example of those who spend their wealth seeking the means and approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to highlight this word, Mardatillah. You know why? Because this is the right intention you and I should have whenever we spend either it's a penny or it's $100,000. Only do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No appreciation, no thankfulness, and no recognition. Approval of Allah and assuring reward for themselves is like a garden on high ground. I want you to imagine that. Like a garden in a high ground which is hit by a downpour, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more and more. The more you give, the more you'll get. So it yields its fruits in double, meaning if a normal person, their fruit yield may be whatever the normal is, but the person who gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah multiplies its yield. And even if it's not hit by the downpour, even the downpour doesn't happen, then a drizzle is sufficient, meaning even if a little bit is there, and it actually multiplies its growth. And Allah of what you do is seeing. Would one of you like to have a garden of a palm trees? Question. Do you and I want a garden of a palm trees? If yes, then you should listen to this ayah. And grapevines underneath, which rivers flow, this gives you a picturesque view that this is a perfect garden in which he has from every fruit, but he is afflicted with an old age and has weak, meaning immature offspring, meaning his kids are young, they cannot take care, and it is hit by a whirlwind containing fire in the burn. And it is burned. Thus Allah make clear to you verses that might give God. So what we learn here is that intention matters a lot. All you who have believed, spend from the good things which you have earned and from that which we have produced for you from the earth, and do not aim towards the defect of their form. And spending from that, while you would not take it yourself, except with closed eyes, and know that Allah is free of need and praiseworthy. In this ayah number 267, we learn that only give what you like for yourself. People sometimes give their extra. People sometimes only take out pennies or maybe old, torn, worn clothes only, and they think that they're doing a great job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, would you like to receive old, torn clothes for yourself? No, so only give what is supposed to be given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you like to receive yourself. Ayah number 268, Shaitan threatens you. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning Shaitan here? You know why? Because the moment person decides that I am feeling good, I want to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guess what? Shaitan comes and takes over the heart of a person who is about to give. And Shaitan said, oh, you're going to get poor, don't give. And then he brings a spreadsheet of the family expenses in front of your eyes. And then he says, you know what, I need to save. My daughter is about to get married. My son has to pay, I have to pay for his education. And what about my retirement home? And what about the vacation that I need to take? So this is all the tactics of Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, because you know why? Because what Allah says, it's more truthful, and what Shaitan is going to entice you with. So, bottom line is, strengthen your iman. So, open up your heart. And once our heart is open, only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come. Shaitan threatens you with the poverty and orders you to immorality. Shaitan says, you know what? Spend on something that is indecent and you will have more fun. Spend on entertaining yourself. Spend on the movie theater. Spend on the things that are haram. And then this is how he traps you. While Allah promised you forgiveness from him and his bounty, and Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. He gives wisdom to whom he wills, and whoever has been given wisdom has certainly been given much good. What do we learn in this ayah? This is the theme ayah of today, and that is the wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is basically saying the right thing, the right way, and the right time, and the right words. You know, sometimes we have knowledge. When we pass it on, we don't with wisdom, and then it backfires us. So this is why having knowledge without hikmah is useless. It really doesn't help you. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I capability to earn this hikmah. And you know how the hikmah comes? When a person opens up his heart for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him hikmah. And hikmah is basically making the right decision. When on your daily life, when you have so many decisions to make, which college to go to, where do I send my kid, what do I make him wear, what do I cook today, where do I earn the money from, should I get this job or not, should I go there or not, this friend of mine is good or not, or should I continue my friendship with her or not, or should I cook this or not, should I talk to my husband this way or that way, should I go to my mother, visit her or not, do I prioritize this thing first or that thing first. Basically, having hikmah teaches you how to prioritize things in your life, what to do first and how to do it. When you say things, you know, sometimes it happens when you go to people and talking to people, and then you come home and you say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I should have answered her this way or that way. This is because of lack of hikmah. We all need hikmah in our life. And this is the theme I have today. I want you to go home and request and email the admins to give you a detailed tafsir of this hikmah, because hikmah is something that can take 2 hours and still you'll not be able to get it. So let's make dua, and inshallah you will be sent this daily worksheet, and I hope you have gotten the worksheet yesterday. And please try to do this worksheet. You know why? Because if you take this information seriously, only then you will internalize it. And hikmah is something you cannot let go. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever is given hikmah, he is given khayran kathiran. What is khayran kathiran? Khayran kathiran is an abundance of goodness. Do you and I want this abundance of goodness? Yes, we do. If we do want it, then what should we do? How should we get it? This is why we're going to learn this dua, and that dua is written in your sheet, worksheet that will be emailed to you, and that is Rabbi Habli Hukman Wa Alhiqni Bis Salihin. I will share it towards the end of the class today too, inshallah. So bottom line is here is that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with hikmah. You know why? Because once you have hikmah, you'll know how to deal with everyday life issues. And once you have hikmah, you will know how to be an active member of Ummat al-Wasat. You know why? Because this is the end goal of our life. And when you have hikmah, you get to decide things which are better for you, and you get to prioritize your life. And ayah number 270, and whatever you spend of expenditures or making of vows, indeed Allah knows of it. And for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. If you disclose your charitable expenditures, they are good. But if you conceal them and give them to the poor, it is better for you. What do we learn here? You know, intentions matters a lot when you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because sometimes people are confused. If I give, like, for example, go to fundraiser, if I raise my hand, I'm giving $1,000, then people are going to think that I am showing off. Well, if your intention is to show off, then of course it's wrong. But if your intention is to motivate others, then it's perfectly okay. And this is what we learn in this ayah. When you give so the others can be motivated, please do give in public. But when you are giving to individual, where you think that his dignity is going to be affected, when a poor person is going to feel bad when he announces in front of people, then hold on. Give him in private. You know why? Because you don't want to lose his dignity. You don't want people to feel bad that you are the one who's supporting them. Sometimes when it comes to family matters, the rich people in the family, they give to the poor people of the family, the relatives, and they announce, you know, that family, I am the one who supports that family. No, don't do that. Do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or else, even if you do support them, guess what? You will not get anything in the Day of Judgment. And this is a very important ayah that to remember. It is better for you to hide it when you give to poor people, and he will remove from you some of your misdeeds. This is the benefit of giving. When you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses you from the sins that you have. And some of your misdeeds, and Allah of what you do is fully aware, meaning Allah knows your intention. Ayah number 272, not upon you, O Muhammad, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is responsibility for your guidance, but Allah guides whom He wills, and whatever good you believers spend is for yourself, and you do not expend except seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to highlight this part of the ayah, إِلَّا بِتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. This is the goal should be, to seek the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because once we have this desire, once we have this end goal in our mind, then giving becomes easy. So write down practical action tip. If you find hard to open up your wallet for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means that the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not much importance in your life. You and I can check ourselves. Are we willing to give up? You know, people, generally speaking, they think that when they write a $500 check to something, it is enough. And same people go to a restaurant and they pay $500 for one night dinner. That's not proportion. This is off proportion. And this is why we see Muslims have always suffering in the masjid and everything. When they are running free, people think that the deen should be for free. Why do you think people think so? Because they don't know this ayah. And it is your job and mine to share these ayahs so that people can give countless in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will replace whatever you give. Allah will give you whatever you give if you have the right intention. And that is, إِلَّا بْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. See, the approval of Allah, see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then whatever you spend of good, notice here, you have to spend what is halal. You cannot just say, I can earn the money from haram ways, so I can donate. Sometimes people justify doing the haram businesses that, you know what, I'm the biggest giver too. So this is very scary. And it will be fully repaid to you. I want you to highlight this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the word, Yuwaffa. Yuwaffa means fully repaid, meaning that not a penny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold back, and you will not be wronged. How beautiful. Do you feel the love of Allah here? In the first juz, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Rahimeen. This is what we see here, because you know why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to earn the highest level of Jannah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us how to do money management, how to allocate money for this dunya, and how much to allocate money for the akhirah. Because when you give money for this dunya, it is spent it now. And what you give for the akhirah, it is going to be deposited in the bank of Akhirah. And when you go there, your bank will be overflowing. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want the tasbih al-qalb, meaning the contentment of the heart? And you know where the contentment of the heart comes? When people give. And you know what? When people give more than what they have, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them towards His book. When people come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up their heart to do more goodness. And this is something that can be shared with a lot of people. There are a lot of stories out there that people were lost. And when they started giving the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up their heart and they were able to come to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Charity is for the poor who have been restricted for the cause of Allah, unable to move about the land, an ignorant person would think themselves sufficient because of their restraint, but you will know them by their characteristic sign, that they do not ask people persistently or at all, and whatever you spend of good, indeed Allah is knowing of it. In this ayah we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, go look for the people, go look for the opportunity to give, because there are a lot of people out there who do not ask. They may not appear poor to you, but they are in need, especially nowadays. Today, we are in this time, people are jobless, people cannot go to work. There are so many daily wages workers who are stopped from going to work and earning money. They may be suffering a lot, and today is the time to really act upon this ayah number 273. Highlight this ayah. After this class, go home and think about and ponder upon this ayah and find out the ways. How can you find, maybe in your relatives, maybe you're in your neighbor, maybe in your own family, the close relatives, or maybe somewhere else around the world, people are suffering. So act upon this ayah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your heart, inshallah. Those who spend their wealth, one more ayah of spending, ayah number 274, those who spend their wealth in Allah's way by night and by day. What does that mean? That means that do not limit yourself spending in one place only and one time only. People say, oh, I have given the last week. I don't have to give this week too. No, Allah SWT is saying, the more you have, the more you give. You can give every day. If you have something to give in the morning time, do it then, right there. Don't wait till the evening time. Some people wait that, oh, in the month of Ramadan I will give because the reward will be more. How do you know that you and I will reach the month of Ramadan? So if you have something to give, give now. And when the month of Ramadan comes, Allah will give you more to give. So what we learn here is that do not hold yourself back that, oh, I will give the next year, the next month, or something like that. Whatever you have, give them now. And then the next thing we learn here is that secretly and publicly, meaning you should be giving sometimes secretly, so that this is between you and Allah only, and sometimes publicly, so other people get enticed too to give. They will have their reward with your Lord. With their Lord. What do we learn here? Allah SWT is the one who's going to give you reward directly, and no fear will there be concerning them, and nor will they grieve. Meaning, the lesson from this ayah is when a person gives in a way of Allah SWT, Allah SWT saves them from sorrow, fear, grief, crying, sadness, depression and anxiety, any kind of illness, any kind of contentment of the heart, Allah SWT takes it away, and Allah SWT gives you more contentment. All kinds of problems are taken away. In other words, your heart condition is directly affected with your giving habits. So we can check, do I feel satisfied with what I have, or do I feel not so happy? This is because maybe our giving is not enough. And then, now from ayah number 275, Allah SWT talks about something really scary and something really, really that we need to take seriously. You know why? Because in this ayah, Allah SWT talks about interest. And interest is something in today's lifestyle of Muslim Ummah has becoming a norm of the life. It's becoming so normalized that people don't even mind. And people who do have something in their heart, that deep down in their heart, they may know that haram and the riba is haram, but they're still doing it. You know why? Because they justify other people are doing it. People go around and get fatawas that, oh, that certain ulama and certain scholar has legalized buying this and buying that. Allah SWT is teaching us here that these ayahs are so severe. In any case, in any condition, riba cannot be halal. Riba is 100% haram. We need to know that. Basically, riba is a major sin. And when people indulge in riba, they themselves are hurting themselves. But you know what? They are actually making it legalized for others too. Because if your friend is taking riba and you think that if he's happy, then you might want to take it too. Because everybody else is taking. Today we live in the time that Muslims, majority of them, are involved in this riba. Let's make dua to Allah SWT that Allah SWT make it possible for us to come out of any kind of riba, whether it's tiny or big, whether it's something we may think it is a necessity of life, because there is nothing necessity of life. In these ayahs, it's a severe warning. According to ulamas, Allah SWT, when he talks about riba, he is very stern. And the way Allah SWT is talking about riba, he does not talk about any other sin. This should tell you that riba is one of the major sin. And when riba becomes a part of the culture and the economy, problems occur. Then Allah SWT says it is like a fight between Allah and the person who takes the riba. Let's go to the ayah and try to feel how intense and severe this thing is. Before we go into these ayahs, I want you to take a moment. Make an intention. Whatever we're about to learn, O Allah, make it possible for me to really, really understand this ayah and truly act upon it. Because if we go through these ayahs and nothing is going to happen in our life, because you may not get a chance to learn this Quran in detail, because we don't know how long we're going to live. This is why I'm going to spend a little bit more time in this ayah and make Allah make it possible for us to still complete the juz on time. Those who consume interest cannot stand. Imagine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who consume interest cannot stand on a day of judgment, except as of one stands who is being beaten by shaitan. Try to imagine, if a person who takes riba, he is being beaten by shaitan into insanity, so much so that he loses his mind. That is because they say trade is just like interest. You know why? The people who justify interest, they say, oh, what's the difference between riba, interest, and trading? It's business. We're doing just business. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds? But Allah has permitted trade and has forbidden interest. What do we learn here? Yes, it may appear same to you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah has permitted trade. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted, it has to be halal. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, it has to be haram. Period. Allah said so, I have to do it. No question asked. So whoever has received an admonition from his Lord and desists may have what is past and his affairs rest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whoever returns the dealing in the interest or usury, those are the companions of fire. Can you believe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they are the companions of the fire. They will abide eternally therein. Muslims say, oh, we are the people of Kalima. We will be eventually taken out. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they will abide eternally therein, despite of being the believer. Isn't that scary? People who indulge themselves in riba, they will stay within the riba. And because of this riba, they will stay within the hellfire forever. May Allah save us all. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. Allah destroys interest and gives increase for charities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, instead of spending money on interest, you should spend money on charities, giving sadaqah. And Allah does not like every sinning disbeliever. Kafarin asim, meaning if whoever disobeys Allah and he still involves himself in riba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this person. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds and establish prayer and give zakah will have their reward with their Lord, and there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. Meaning, the person who may be suffering in this dunya, he may not be able to buy the house in this dunya. He may be suffering and living in a small apartment. But guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they will not have any fear and grief because their heart will be filled with contentment. And then, O you who have believed, fear Allah. You know who can give up riba? Who can stay away from riba? The one who has taqwa. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, ittaqullah. And then give up what remains due to you of interest if you should be believers. And if you do not, then be informed of a war. Biharbin min Allahi wa rasulihi. The word harb means war. It is like waging a war against Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a person indulges himself in riba. And you know what? How do you think the war will be? The war will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the sword and everything? No. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the offspring, the generations, and takes away the iman, and the people are lost, and they lose the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us, today's Muslim Ummah. Muslim Ummah is losing their offsprings to Islam. They're not being Muslim anymore. Do you know why? Because people don't realize that this is like a waging of war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many other ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a person through is against the with the war with him. But if you repent, how beautiful. Whatever happens in the past, don't worry. But if you repent, you may have your principal back, meaning you can take your original back. Thus you do no wrong, nor are you wronged. And if someone is in hardship, then let there be postponement until a time of ease. But if you give from your right as charity, then it is better for you if you only knew. Meaning, if you have given some money to somebody, don't take the riba back, but take the original amount back and give them ease. and don't make them hurry up. If they cannot pay, then try to forgive them because it is better for you. And fear a day. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear a day when you will be returned to Allah. Then every soul will be compensated for what it earned, and they will not be wronged that is treated unjustly. Meaning, whatever you do in this dunya, whatever you will get in the hereafter. Ayah number 282 is an amazing ayah. It is about the writing contract. We think that writing something, it's not part of Islam. Here in this ayah, we learn that everything is Islam. Even writing, when you do a money matter dealing, you must write it down. You know why? Because if you don't write it down, then there's a misunderstanding happens. And those misunderstandings leads to bad relationships. And the business break apart, families turn against each other, brother turns against the brother. You know, sometimes we say, oh, he's just my brother, so I'm just giving him $500. What the heck? It's only $500. I'm not going to write. But guess what? If you come back tomorrow and ask him $500, he said, what $500? And you have no proof. Guess what? Brother and brother will fight. In despite of whatever we think, our brother may be honest or not, it doesn't matter. We need to follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and write everything down. From now on, make an intention. Even if you deal with money, whether it's a small amount or big, if you're borrowing it, if there's a time frame involved, you must write it down. Even if it's between the sisters or brothers. It's easy nowadays. You can just email them, and email it can be a writing binding contract too for a small amount. When it comes to large business dealing, you should have the proper writing contract. And in this ayah, there's so much detail to go into. But make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to learn this ayah in detail. O you who have believed, this ayah is for the believers. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, idha tadayantum. When you contract a debt for a specified term, write it down. Highlight this phrase. It is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write it down. And let a scribe write it between you in justice. Let no scribe refuse to write as Allah has taught him. So let him write, and let the one who has the obligation that the debtor dictate, and let him fear Allah, his Lord, and not leave anything out of it. But if the one who has the obligation is of limited understanding, or weak, or unable to dictate himself, then let him let his guardian dictate injustice, and bring to witness two witnesses from among yours. There is not two men available, then a man and two women from those whom you accept as witness, so that if one of them, that is the woman, errs, then the other can remind her. And let not the witness refuse when they are called upon, and they do not be too weary to write it, whether it is small or large, or for its specified term. That is more just in the sight of Allah, and stronger as evidence, and more likely to prevent doubt between you, except when it is an immediate transaction which you conduct among yourself. For then there is no blame upon you if you do not write it, and take witness when you conclude a contract. Let no scribe be harmed or any witness, for if you do so, indeed, it is grave disobedience in you, and fear Allah, and Allah teaches you, and Allah is knowing of all kinds. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it possible to understand this ayah. And if you are on a journey and cannot find a scribe, then a security deposit should be taken. And if you, one of you, entrust another, then let him who is entrusted discharge his trust faithfully, and let him fear Allah, his Lord, and do not conceal testimony, for whoever conceals it, his heart is indeed sinful, and Allah is knowing of what you do. This is another way you can borrow money, by giving something valuable and use it as a placeholder until you return the money back. Ayah number 284. To Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. Whether you show what is within yourself or conceal it, Allah will bring you to account for it. Then he will forgive whom He wills and punish whom He wills, and Allah is over all things competent. This ayah, when it was revealed, Sahaba were very scared that, O Allah, whatever comes in our heart, even that Allah SWT knows, and He will hold you accountable. You and I, so many things comes in our heart. How many times does the thought come that Allah SWT knows that, and He will hold us accountable for that? Ayah number 285 and 286, these are the two ayahs, last two ayahs that Allah SWT has bestowed upon. These ayahs come from heaven. When Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for Isra wal Miraj, and these ayahs were gifted to the to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam up in the heavens. These ayah teaches us that everything belongs to Allah SWT. They are basically a part of our iman. And in that, the last ayah, 286, we will learn the dua. That is the dua that is Allah SWT tells us. Such a beautiful dua. And we should memorize this dua. And we learn from a hadith that whoever says these two ayahs before going to sleep, Allah SWT will suffice him. So let's make intention that we're going to memorize these two ayahs, 285 and 286, and recite them before going to bed every time. Ayah number 285, the messenger has believed in what was revealed to him from his Lord, and so have the believers. All of them have believed in Allah and his angels and his book. This is part of our iman, to believe in everything that is written in this ayah and his messenger, saying, we make no distinctions. Say it right now. As, la nufariqu bayna ahadin min rusulihi. We hear, we obey. Say it right now. All of you, whoever is listening to this. Sami'na wa ata'na. We listen and we obey. O Allah, accept it. Be a witness. We are saying to you that we listen to your ayahs. Whatever we just listen, whatever we listen about spending, whatever we listen about riba, whatever we listen about ayat al-kursi, we listen and we obey. Wufrana, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. Your forgiveness. This is what we need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Lord, Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, and to you is the final destination. This is such a beautiful acknowledgement. And then, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Allah does not charge a soul except with that within its capacity. So rest assured, Allah will not test you what you cannot bear. It will have the consequences of what good it has gained, and it will bear the consequences of what evil it has earned. Meaning, what we are responsible for everything we do. Our Lord, do not impose blame upon us if we have forgotten or erred. This is such a beautiful satisfaction. You know why? Because when we hear and learn all these ayahs, and sometimes if we are not able to obey them, then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, do not impose blame upon us if we have forgotten or erred. Our Lord, and lay not upon us a burden like that which you laid upon those before us. Our Lord, and burden us not with that which you have, we have no ability to bear. This there you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am so weak. Even though I have learned this whole Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Fatiha, I may not be able to follow everything. This is why towards the end of the surah you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I forget, please forgive me. I want to do it, but if I can't, please forgive me. Don't hold me accountable for something that I forget or I make mistakes. And pardon us. Try to feel. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, forgive me, pardon me, and forgive us, and then have mercy upon us. All three things I need in my life. Anta Maulana, you know why? Because you are my protector. You're the only one who can protect me. You're the only one who can forgive me. And you're the only one who can have mercy upon me. Fansurna, and help us. Alal qawmil kafirin, over the disbelieving people. Very, very beautiful, inshallah. Here, if you can listen to the recitation for the ayahs, admins, please prepare the recitation, and then we'll learn, listen to the recitation of the first five ayahs of Surah Ali Imran, and we'll continue from there. Until they're getting ready, I just want you to ponder, take these moments, Think about it, close your eyes, and think deeply about the ayahs. Because if we go through these ayahs, not really doing anything, then these Quran will not benefit us. This is why we see people doing all kinds of good stuff, but not able to really implement the Quran. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to learn and implement and feel the love of Allah, because this will come from hikmah, and hikmah will come from giving, and giving will come from taqwa, and taqwa will come from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, everything is interchangeable, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Can we have the recitation? Okay, inshallah. Give me just few minutes. Let me just get the recitation ready, inshallah.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. سورة آل عمران. Surah Ali Imran is the third chapter in Quran, and it is the second largest surah, second biggest surah. And this surah is basically and Surah Baqarah together. We learn from a hadith that we're supposed to be reciting these surahs. The name of these surahs are Al-Zahrawain. And we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, will send these surahs in a form of a cloud which will shade their reciters. So, inshallah, make intention that on a Day of Judgment, we are protected under the shade of Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran is a very different surah. In this surah, we will learn about people of the book which are Christians. In the Surah Al-Baqarah, if you remember, the first half was about Bani Israel. And the second half was about Muslim Ummah of today's time. All the commands and all the do's and don'ts and what we're supposed to do and the change of power. And in this surah, we will learn about the people who call themselves Christian. They began with the family of Imran. Imran and his wife are the one from their descendants. Maryam alayhi salam was born, and from there Isa alayhi salam was born. You will find this surah very light and very different and filled with du'as and so many practical tips. Let's begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 1. Alif lam mim. حروف مقطعات الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الله There is no deity except Him, the ever-living, the self-sustaining. Notice the name, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. These are the two names that came in Ayat Al-Kursi 2. So if we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using these two names, inshallah, our du'as will be accepted. There's a du'a that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghis. And then ask whatever du'a you want, Allah shall grant it. Because we need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power of Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. نزل الكتاب نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل. He has sent down upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book in truth, confirming what was before it, and he revealed the Torah and the Gospel. Meaning, all books came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام. Do you feel all these ayahs are coming about the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is? Do you know why? Because in this ayah, we will learn the negation of Isa alayhi salam being the prophet, being the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a reader, you and I, whoever learns and benefit from this book, that get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Before is a guidance for the people, and He revealed the criterion, that is this Quran. This Quran is a book of guidance and book of criterion. We need to live our life according to this Quran. Indeed, those who disbelieve in the verses of Allah will have a severe punishment. People who choose not to come to Quran, they will have the severe punishment. And Allah is exalted in might, the owner of retribution. I want you to highlight this. Allah Azizun Zuntiqam. People forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Azizun Zuntiqam too. They say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayyu Qayyum, and He is Ar-Rahman and Rahim, and He is Ghafoor and Rahim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's all attributes are of same strength. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Indeed, from Allah nothing is hidden in the earth nor in the heavens. Rest assured, Allah knows what goes in your heart. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. It is He who forms you in the wombs, who, however He wills. Meaning, you are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who decided who you look like, whether you're going to be a boy or a girl, whether you're going to be white or a dark, whether you're going to be black or brown, or whether you're going to have a long, tall nose or big lips or big eyes or small. It is a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So next time when you look at yourself in a mirror, instead of complaining, be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you. He is the one who has designed you. It must be very good for you. There is nothing you can do about your creation anyway. So you have to believe in what Allah says. And then this ayah should make you satisfied with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَةٌ. Did I complete the ayah? No. There is no deity except Him, the exalted in might and wise. It is He who has sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book. In it are verses that are precise, that are the foundation of the book, and others are unspecific. Meaning, Quran has many ayahs, and then there are some ayahs that are very like a do's and don'ts, and some ayahs are not so clear. As for those in whose heart is deviation from the truth, they will follow that of it which is unspecific. Meaning, if lose the focus and they only focus on which is unspecific, seeking discord, this is the intention they have, and seeking an interpretation suitable to them. Meaning, they try to interpret this ayah according to what their liking is. And no one knows its true interpretation except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, Alif Lam Mim. We don't know. Just period. Don't know. Don't try to get into this. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only Allah knows the interpretation. But those firm in knowledge, I want you to highlight this, those firm in knowledge, and وَالْرَاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and this is one of the goals that you and I can have, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me the one who has a firm knowledge of the deen. You know why? Because this is where the salvation comes. This is where the taqwa comes. This is where the implementation of the ayahs, all those ayahs that we are learning from comes, because when the person has a firm knowledge, he is able to serve his Lord, and he doesn't have any doubts. So those who are firm in knowledge, they say, we believe in it. Write down for yourself. وَالْرَاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Do I believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? We believe in all of it is from Allah's, from our Lord, and no one will be reminded except those of understanding. Who say, our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us. This is a beautiful dua that they ask, because Rasikhuna fil in doesn't come by itself. And we need to all make this dua. And this dua highlight this dua in your mushaf. And jot down this ayah number so you can memorize it later. You know why? Because once you come and once you have the knowledge of deen, and then if you don't make this dua, then it is very easy to get deviated. People who have a lot of knowledge, they're not able to implement. People who may have a lot of knowledge, they may go astray later in their life. So if you feel that you are blessed to have the knowledge of Quran, then you must make this dua a mandatory part of your daily life. You know why? Because shaitan is keep on bugging you, and he keeps on distracting you. He keeps on taking you away from this path, because this is his job. So in order to get the protection against shaitan, we must ask this dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. What are you asking in this dua? Our Lord, let not our hearts deviate. In other words, you're asking for protection of the heart after you have guided us. Question, do we feel guided right now? If we do, then this dua is a must. And grant us from yourself mercy. Question, can we survive without Allah's mercy? If not, then we must ask this dua. Indeed, you are the bestower. This is the belief that we should have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. You are the bestower of anything and everything we ask. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Our Lord, surely you will gather the people for a day about which there is no doubt. this is the mindset we need to have, that the day of judgment is something that we need to have in front of us. Indeed, Allah does not fail in His promise. Indeed, those who disbelieve, never will their wealth or their children avail them against Allah at all. And it is they who are the fuel for the fire. There is like the custom of the people of Pharaoh and those before them. They denied our signs, so Allah sees them for their sins, and Allah is severe in penalty. Highlight this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadeedul iqab as well. Say to those who disbelieve, you will be overcome and gathered together to hell, and wretched is the resting place. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. O Allah, save us from this destiny. Already there have been for you a sign in the two armies which met in combat of Badr, one fighting in the cause of Allah and other of the cause of the disbeliever. They saw them to be twice their own number by their eyesight, but Allah supports with his victory whom He wills. Indeed, in that there is a lesson for those of vision. The story of Badr, Battle of Badr, there are so many lessons there. And what we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you through the blessings of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you go through some troubles so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you are supposed to get. And beautified for people is the love of that which they desire. This is why people feel this love of this dunya, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this love in the heart of the people. A woman and sons, and heaped up sums of gold and silver, fine branded horses, and cattle and tilled land. And that is the enjoyment of the worldly life. But Allah has with Him the best return, even though this dunya is very attractive. It is not easy to stay away from this dunya. Everything really calls upon your heart to go, and you long for it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this dunya beautiful, but if you control yourself, you don't indulge too much in it, just take as needed basis, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give you the reward because you have the paradise for you. People who live for this dunya, they get everything in this dunya. Basically, what we learn here is that if you live the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning life of Iman in this dunya, Allah will give you life of your choice in the Akhirah. And if you live this life according to your choice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you life of His choice in Akhirah. In other words, the choice is yours. Whatever we do in this dunya, if the focus is dunya, we'll get the dunya. If the focus is akhirah, we'll get the akhirah. Say, shall I inform you of something better than that? For those who fear Allah, notice here, if a person has taqwa, only then will be the gardens in the presence of their Lord, beneath which river flows, wherein they abide eternally, and purified spouses, and approval from Allah. Highlight this thing. وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. You know why? Because when a person restricts himself according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his friend may be buying a huge fancy house with a 4-car garage and 4 shiny cars parked in them, and he is living in an apartment because he doesn't want to indulge himself in a riba. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will get the رِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with this person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him His approval. Can you imagine? Is there anything better than this? So, bottom line here is that we need to make intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make my focus رِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. It is not possible for me to do that, but You can make it happen for me. Oh Allah, I want this. Ask Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. You know why? Because Allah says, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah is seeing and aware of His servants. What you want is what you get. الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Those who say, our Lord, indeed, we have believed, so forgive us our sins and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Beautiful dua. we all can ask this dua and jot down the number of this ayah, number 16. This is the dua. If we want Mabatillah, if we want the Ridwan Minallah, then we need to ask this dua. And then Allah SWT shall give us a Jannah that is eternal. The patient, the true, the obedient, those who spend in the way of Allah SWT. الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين بالأسحار. Meaning, the one who have sabr, the one who are truthful, and the one who are obedient, and the one who spends in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highlight these things and think of yourself. Where do we belong in these? And those who seek forgiveness before dawn. Meaning, today, inshallah, in a few days, month of Ramadan is coming. Make yourself the one who gets up in a, for the sukur time and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah witnessed that there is no deity except Him, and so do the angels and those of knowledge that He is maintaining creation in justice. There is no deity except Him, the exalted in might and the wise. Indeed, the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. I want you to highlight this thing. People say there are so many religions. I am confused. I'm trying to find out which religion is good for me. Allah SWT is saying there is only one religion, and that is Islam. And those who were given the scripture did not differ except after the knowledge had come to them out of jealous animosity between themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the verses of Allah, then indeed Allah is swift in taking account. So, if they argue with you, I have submitted myself to Allah. Here we learn a very beautiful rule that if somebody argues with you, how should you respond to them? فَقُلْ أَسْلَمْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّهِ. Meaning, I have submitted myself to Allah in Islam, and so have those who follow me. And say to those who were given the scripture and to the unlearned, have you submitted yourselves? And if they submit in Islam, they are rightly guided. But if they turn away, then upon you is only the duty of notification. And Allah is seeing of His servant. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Those who disbelieve in the signs of Allah and kill the prophets without right and kill those who order justice from among the people, give them tidings of the painful punishment. They are the ones whose deeds have become worthless. I want you to highlight this thing. Ayah number 22. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They are the ones whose deeds have been worthless in this world and in the hereafter. And for them, there will be no helpers. May Allah save us from these bad endings. Imagine if a person is doing all kinds of good, but if his aqidah is not right, and if his intention is not right, and if his iman is not there, what good is the good deeds? أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Do you not consider, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who were given portion of the scripture, they are invited to the scripture of Allah, and that is should be arbitrated between them, and then a party of them turns away and they are refusing. That is because they say, never will the fire touch us except for the few number days. I want you to highlight this, ayah. This is a misconception many people have. They think that, oh, fire is going to touch us except for a few days and we will be taken out. This is the misconception many people have. Yes, eventually the people of the Kalima will be taken out, but imagine few days living in the hellfire. This should not be goal. This is called incomplete submission. When a person completely submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they submit it fully, then they don't think like that. I can commit any sins I want, and at the end of the day, so what if I have to burn in Jannah? Sorry, burn in hellfire. Auzubillah. So, and because they were deluded in their religion by what they were inventing, so how will it be when we assemble them for a day about which there is no doubt, and each soul will be compensated in full for what is earned, what it earned, and they will not be wronged. Say, O Allah, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ. I want you to highlight this ayah because this ayah tells us the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, O Allah, owner of the sovereignty, you give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take sovereignty away from whom you will, you honor whom you will, and you humble whom you will. In your hand is all good. Indeed, you are over all things competent. Memorize this ayah because this is an ayah that can give you the peace of in your heart. If somebody bothers you, somebody does something to you, you say, you know what, they cannot do anything because everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my honor and my disgrace will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ. You cause the night to enter the day, and you cause the day to enter the night, and you bring the living out of the dead, and you bring the dead out of the living, and you bring provision to whom you will without account. So many lessons we learn from this ayah. لَا يَتَّخِذُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Let not believers take the disbelievers as allies, meaning the supporters or protectors. Why? Because rather than believers, and whoever of you does that has nothing that is no association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very severe and stern warning. Meaning, do not take disbelievers as your close-knit friend where you can share your secrets with them. You know why? Because they will turn you away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a warning here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, and whoever of you does that has nothing, meaning no association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine how severe it is? Except when taking precaution, meaning you can deal with them with precaution, against them in prudence, and Allah warns you of Himself. I want you to highlight this. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a stern warning here. If we don't take it seriously, we are the one who's going to be loser at the end of the day. And to Allah is the final destination. Say, whether you conceal what is in your breast or reveal it, Allah knows it. Allah knows each and every condition of your heart and mind. And then He knows that which is in the heavens and that which is on the earth, and Allah is over all things competent. The day every soul will find what it has done of good present before it, and what it has done of evil, it will wish that between itself and that evil was a great distance. And Allah warns you of Himself. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning us again that وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. This ayah comes twice back to back. Why? Because it is something that we need to take serious. And then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ رَعُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is kind to His servants. Kind to who? The one who takes the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. And in this ayah number 31, we learn a very important ruling, and that is that we must follow and obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Believing in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a part of our iman. And say, O Muhammad, if you should love Allah, then follow me. Meaning, if we claim that we love Allah, then we must follow and obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Meaning, Allah's forgiveness will come to us if we bring sunnah in our lives, and if we love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in order to love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must know the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to learn the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will definitely increase your love for Him. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. And ayah number 32 is also giving the same message. Say, obey Allah. Qul ati'u Allah wa Rasul. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, if you obey Allah only, that is enough. No, you must obey Rasul too. And they both come right after each other. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. But if you turn away, then indeed Allah does not like the disbelievers. Here we learn the important kalima. We must believe the whole kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Do you know why? It's because when people take half of the kalima, they don't really fulfill and enter the deen 100% fully. Indeed, Allah chose Adam and Nuh and the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran over the worlds. What do we learn in this ayah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whomever He wants, descendants some of them from others, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Mention O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the wife of Imran said, My Lord, indeed, I have pledged to you what is in my womb, consecrated for your service, so accept this from me. Indeed, you are the hearing and the knowing. How smart of a mother she is. Before giving birth to a child, she has devoted the child, even though she didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, she devoted the baby to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we can do. Before even having the children, we can make dua right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept my children for your devotion and your service. And if we already, our children are grown up, we can make dua for our grandchildren, inshallah. But when she delivered her, she said, My Lord, I have delivered a female. She was expecting a boy. And Allah was most knowing of what she delivered. And the male is not like of the female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created male and female for the different roles in life. And when we mix up the roles, this is where the chaos of the dunya happens. This is why we see people, men trying to do the things that women do, and women trying to do the things that men do. Allah give us ability to understand these ayahs. And I have named her Mary, and I seek refuge for her in you, and for the descendants from Shaitan, the expelled one from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a beautiful thing. A child supposed to be given by a smart mother in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a protection from Shaitan. And this is what she did. She not just gave her own child in the hands of Allah and protection against Shaitan, but she also gave her offspring. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed Maryam alayhi salam with Isa alayhi salam. Can you imagine how beautiful this lesson is? Being a mother, we all need to do this. Give our children in a protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against Shaitan, because this dunya has too many distractions. And today, Shaitan lives in the palm of our hand, and he is taking over the minds of our youth. Today, we really need to develop this habit of giving them under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against Shaitan. Highlight this ayah, contemplate on it when you go home, and try to implement this. If you and I want to raise an ummah, who can be ummah tawassul, then we must do this. Ayah number 37. So, her Lord accepted her with good acceptance and caused her to grow in a good manner and put her in the care of Zakariya. Every time Zakariya entered upon her in the prayer chamber, he found with her provision. He said, O Maryam, from where is this coming to you? She said, It is from Allah. What we learned here, when a person devotes his youth year for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of his provisions. Indeed, Allah provides from whom he wills without account. At that, Zakariya alayhi salam called upon his Lord, saying, My Lord, and this is a beautiful dua, saying upon my Lord, grant me from yourself a good offspring. Indeed, you are the hearer of the supplication. We learn here is that we must make dua for a pious child, make dua directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Zakariya alayhi salam did, and his dua was accepted right away. And then, why his dua was accepted? Because he had full conviction, despite of any odds of his age and the circumstances. And then, ask complete dua, not haphazard dua. This is why it is important that we say the dua in the word of Quran or Sunnah, because they are very comprehensive. And you can also ask dua with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what we learn here. Innaka sami'ud dua, meaning, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the listener of the du'as. I am asking you directly. So next time, in the month of Ramadan, when you are making dua, remember all these etiquettes of making dua, must have full conviction. The reason our du'as are not accepted sometimes, because we have this doubt in the back of our mind, thinking about the resources and the circumstances they look very different. In the case of Zakaria alayhi salam, circumstances were not there, but the dua is accepted. Do you know why? Because he had full conviction. فَنَادَتُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ So the angels called him while he was standing in prayer in the chamber. Indeed, Allah gives you good tidings of John, confirming our word from Allah, and who will be honorable, abstaining from women, and a prophet from among the righteous. Notice, he asked for the Saleh kid, Saleh son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him not just Saleh, but with all these added qualities. And this is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we ask with full conviction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more than what we ask. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua and he gave him the son named Yahya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who picked the name of Yahya alayhi salam too. Can you imagine? How beautiful. Can we, you and I, make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this conviction? If not, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the conviction. I don't have it. I want to have it. He said, My Lord, how will I have a boy when I have reached old age and my wife is barren? See, there were the resources were not there. Circumstances were not present there. He, the angel said, such is Allah. Meaning, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He does what he wills and he can do anything and everything without having resources. He said, My Lord, make for me a sign. He said, Your sign is that you will not be able to speak to the people for 3 days except by gesture. And remember your Lord much and exalt him with praise in the evening and the morning. When upon receiving the news of the good tidings or any good news, we're supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. And mention, when the angel said, O Mary, indeed Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of the world. O Mary, be devoutly obedient. Ya Maryam Muqtati, Rabbika wasjudi wa qa'ima al-raqeen. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Obedient to your Lord and prostrate and bow with those who bow in prayer. That is from the news of the unseen which we reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are not with them when they cast their pens as to which of them should be responsible for Maryam, nor were you with them when they disputed. Meaning, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no knowledge of the unseen except for which Allah gave him. And mention when the angel said, O Maryam, indeed Allah gives you good tidings of a word. Which word? Meaning, the kalam, Masih ibn Isa ibn Maryam. You good tidings of a word from him whose name will be Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, distinguished in this world and the hereafter, and among those who brought near to Allah. He will speak to the people in the cradle and in maturity, and will be of the righteous one. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Maryam alayhi salam because of her piety and purity, and that became a test for her. He will speak to people in the cradle and in maturity, and will be of the righteous. She said, My Lord, how will I have a child when no man has touched me? Remember, she was a devout woman. She devoted herself, her youth, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angel said, such is Allah, meaning Allah does whatever he wills. He creates that he wills. When he decrees a matter, he only says to it, be, and it is. The lesson we can learn from here is that we should bring this in our mindset that for Allah, it is just a kun. And when Allah says kun, everything is possible. And he will teach him writing and wisdom and the Torah and the gospel. Rasulan ila bani Israila anni qad ji'tukum, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel who will say, indeed, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord in that I design for you from clay that which is like the form of the bird, then I breathe into it. And that it becomes the bird by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I cure the blind from bird and the leper. And I give life to the dead by permission of Allah. Notice, he did everything with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I inform you of what you eat and what you store in your houses. Indeed, in that is a sign for you if you are a believer. And I have come confirming what was before me of the Torah, and to make lawful for you some of what was forbidden to you. And I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. So fear Allah and obey me. Remember, he did not say, I am a son of God. He said, fear Allah and just obey me. This is what we're supposed to do to any prophet. Indeed, Allah is my Lord. Notice here, he did not say, Allah is my Father and your Lord. So worship him. That is the straight path. But when Jesus felt persistence in disbelief from them, he said, who are my supporters for the cause of Allah? The disciples said, we are the supporters of Allah. I want you to highlight this phrase in your mushaf. Nahnu ansarullah. We are the supporters of Allah. Question. If we want to be supporters of Allah, then we must say it and we must mean it too. So they were the supporters of Allah. And people didn't like it at the time when Jesus was giving da'wah, and they denied him. So this is why he asked for the support of the people. Why? Because it is okay to ask for assistance from the people, and this is bi'iznillah too. So what happens next is when he felt this is when he asked, and they gave, we are the supporters of Allah. We have believed in Allah and testify that we are the Muslims submitted to him. And ayah number 53 is a beautiful dua that they ask. So if you and I want to be the supporters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should highlight this ayah and make this dua a part of our daily life. You know why? Because only this is the happiest way we can enter to the Jannah. And that is this dua. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعَنَا الرَّسُولَ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Our Lord, we have believed in what you have revealed and have followed the messenger, so register us among the witness, meaning to the truth. And they, meaning the disbeliever, planned, but Allah planned, and Allah is the best of the planner. Mention when Allah said, O Jesus, indeed I will take you and raise you to myself and purify, that is free you from those who disbelieve, and make those who follow you in submission to Allah alone superior to those who disbelieve until the day of resurrection, then to me is your return, and I will judge between you concerning that is which you used to differ. And as for those who disbelieve, I will punish them with a severe punishment in this world and in the hereafter, and they will have no helpers. But as for those who believe and did righteous deeds, he will give them in full their rewards, and Allah does not like the wrongdoers. That is what we recite to you. ذَلِكَ نَتْلُوهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. These are the verses of the book that is full of hikmah. And then that is what we recite to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of our verses and the precise and the wise message that is this Quran. Indeed, the example of Isa alaihi salam to Allah is like that of Adam. He created him from dust. Then he said to him, be, and he was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anything to create anything. And when people disagree that how come Jesus is born without the father, they should know that how come Adam alayhi salam was born even without the mother too. The truth is from your Lord, so do not be among the doubters, meaning have full conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kun fayakun. Then whoever argues with you about it, after this knowledge has come to you, say, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves, and then supplicate earnestly together and invoke the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the liars among us. Indeed, this is the true narration, and there is no deity except Allah, and indeed Allah is the exalted in might and wise. But if they turn away, then indeed Allah is knowing of the corruptors. فَإِن تَوَلُّوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُفْسِدِينَ. Say, O people of scripture, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا. Come to the word that is equitable between you and us, us and you that we will not worship except Allah and not associate anything with Him and not take in one another as lords instead of Allah. But if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims submitting to Him. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, lima tuhajjuna fi Ibrahim wama unzilat at-Tawrat wal-Injil illa min ba'dihi afala taqilun. O people of the scripture, why do you argue about Ibrahim while the Torah and the Gospel were not revealed until after him? Here you are, those who have argued about that of which you have some knowledge, but why do you argue about that of which you have no knowledge? This is what people do. People keep on arguing about stuff they have no knowledge of. May Allah save us from among those who argue without any understanding. And Allah knows while you know not. Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was one inclining towards truth, a Muslim, submitting to Allah. And he was not of the polytheists. May Allah give us Iman like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Indeed, the most worthy of Ibrahim among the people are those who followed him in submission to Allah. This is what we learn. Association doesn't matter. It's the following that will give us salvation. And this Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who believe in his message, and Allah is the ally of the believers. A fraction of the people of the scripture wish they could mislead you. Notice here, highlight this thing. But they do not mislead except themselves. When people try to mislead others, in fact, in reality, they are misleading themselves and they perceive it not, but they just don't know it. O people of the scripture, why do you disbelieve in the verses of Allah while you witness to their truth? Meaning, people, even though they knew that this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were disbelieving. And this is the question to be asked when people deny the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, lima talbisuna al-haqqa bil-batili wa taktumuna al-haqqa wa antum ta'lamun. O people of the scripture, why do you mix, meaning why do you confuse the truth with the falsehood and conceal the truth while you know it? So important, right? وَقَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ آمِنُوا بِالَّذِي أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجْهَ النَّهَارِ وَكْفُرُوا وَآخِرَهُ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And a faction of the people of the scripture say to each other, believe in that which was revealed to the believers. This is a false and temporary belief to confuse the believers so they can turn away to whom? These non-believers who are accepting and they're turning back, there must be something wrong with Islam. This was the strategy they had to make people go away from Islam. And this strategy was valid then and this strategy is valid now. And the which was revealed to the believers at the beginning of the day and rejected at the end of the day, that perhaps they will return, meaning they would abandon their deen and they would have doubts in their mind. And do not trust except those who follow your religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving another warning here. You should only trust the believers because you don't know what goes on in the heart of the disbelievers. Indeed, the true guidance is the guidance of Allah. And you know what? No matter what people try, guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Do not fear lest someone be given knowledge like you were given, or that they would thereby argue with you before your Lord. Say, indeed, all bounty is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highlight this part. This is such a beautiful thing. It gives you peace in heart that no matter what people can say and do to Muslims and Islam, all bounty is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He grants it to whom He wills, and Allah is all encompassing and wise. He selects for His mercy whom He wills, and Allah is the possessor of the great bounty. I want you to highlight this ayah. يَقْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. This will develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is in the hand of anybody. And among the people of the scripture is he who, if you entrust him with a great amount of wealth, he will return it to you. Meaning, there's always good and bad people everywhere. And among them is he who, if you entrust him with a single coin, he will not return it to you unless you are constantly standing over him demanding it. That is because they say, there is no blame upon us concerning the unlearned. And they speak untruth about Allah while they know it. But yes, whoever fulfills what? The commitment, his commitment, and fears Allah. Two things are mentioned in this ayah I want you to highlight. Bala, man awfa bi'ahdihi, fulfills your commitments, wa taqa, fa inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqeen. And this is the end goal of our, as a Muslim, as a believer, if we have these two qualities in ourselves, only then we can be ummat al-wasat. Only then we can raise an ummah, a generation that can be a leaders of the world. Isn't that what the end goal is? Adopt him in Allah and to be a part of this dunya the way Allah SWT wants us to be. So highlight this ayah, ayah number 76. Put it for your reference, inshallah. Indeed, those who exchange the covenant of Allah and their own oaths for a small price will have no share in the hereafter. And Allah will not speak to them or look at them. May Allah save us from this. On the day of resurrection, nor will he purify them, and they will have a painful punishment. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. And indeed, there is among them a party who alters the scripture with their tongues. So you may think it is from the scripture, but it is not from the scripture. And they say, this is from Allah. It is a big sin to alter the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the interpretation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. Because Quran is unchangeable, but people try to interpret in such a way that it gives the wrong meaning. And it is a major sin. And they say this is from Allah, but it is not from Allah. And they speak untruth, but Allah while they know it. It is not for a human prophet that Allah should give him the scripture and authority and prophethood, and then he would say to the people, be servants to me rather than Allah. But instead, he would say, be pious scholars of the Lord because of what you have taught of the scripture and because of what you have studied. What we learn here is that do not associate and bring people towards you. Instead, connect them towards Allah's book directly. Sometimes people try to promote themselves, their name, and their motto first, and their masla, their school of thought. And we learn here, we're not supposed to do that. Prophets didn't do that. We're not supposed to do that. Nor could he order you to take the angels and prophets as Lord. Would he order you to disbelieve after you have been Muslim? And recall, O people of the scripture, when Allah took the covenant of the prophets, saying, whatever I give you of the scripture and wisdom, and there comes to you a messenger confirming what is with you, you must believe in him and support him. Allah said, have you acknowledged and taken upon that my commitment? They said, we have acknowledged it. He said, then bear witness, and I am with you among the witnesses. فَمَنْ تَوَلَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And whoever turned away after that, they were the defiantly disobedient. أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. So, is it other than the religion of Allah they desire? Why to him have submitted all those within the heavens and the earth willingly or by compulsion, and to him they will be returned. Say, we have believed in Allah and in what was revealed to us and what was revealed to the Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and the descendants of Al-Asmad, and in what was given to Musa and Isa and to the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction. Highlight this part. We make no distinction among any prophet between any of them, and we are Muslim. I want you to highlight this phrase, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us submissive Muslims. And whoever desires other than Islam as a religion, never will it be accepted from him. Highlight this ayah. This is the answer to all the people who try to follow any other religion. They say Christianity has so much goodness in it. They say Judaism is such and such. They say Buddhism is good in certain things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever desires other than Islam as a religion, never, highlight this word, never will be accepted from him. Bottom line, Islam is the only true religion. And this is where the guidance is. And this is where the salvation is. And this is where the success comes from. And he in the hereafter will be among the losers. How shall Allah guide the people who disbelieve after they believe and had witnessed that the messenger is true and clear signs had come to them? And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Those, their recompense will be that upon them is a curse of Allah. May Allah save us from this. And the angels and the people all together. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. Abiding eternally therein, the punishment will not be lightened for them, nor will they be reprieved, except for those who repent after that and correct themselves. For indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. I want you to highlight this ayah. This is the solution. This is the salvation. And this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After giving us all those detailed information about the people, that the paragraph we just learned, about those who were giving the message and they did not take it. They were arguing. They denied it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for them is a hellfire. But for those of you who believed, alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah in your heart right now, that we are the believers. What if we were among those who disbelieve? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you are a believer, and then after believing, you correct yourself, meaning iman, having iman by tongue is not enough. You have to come in the circle of Islam completely, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So those who correct themselves, for indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. And then indeed those who disbelieve, that is reject the message after they believe and then increase in disbelief, never will their claim repentance be accepted. In other words, you have to be a believer in order for you to be forgiven. And then never will their claim repentance be accepted, and they are the ones stray. And then the last ayah of today's juz, indeed, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, never would the whole capacity of the earth in gold be accepted. I want you to take this ayah very seriously, because this ayah is basically the gist of the whole juz. And what is that? Whatever we believe, we have to live by it. Only then we will be able to die on a state of iman. And this is what we learn in this ayah. Indeed, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, never would the whole capacity of the earth in gold be accepted from one of them if he would seek to ransom himself with it. For those, there will be a painful punishment and they will have no helpers. In other words, having iman is one thing and dying on iman is another thing. We all must have this great desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the iman throughout the life and make us die among the with the iman. And this is where the salvation is. People may live with the iman in their life, and when it comes to later in life, they may turn away. There are so many people who start out their life with the belief, and later in life, something happens. This is why the dua that we learned earlier, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, is very important, inshallah. And if you see the last dua, inshallah, the last dua was, this. Dua that we learn, inshallah, the reference ayahs you can jot down. So ayah number 286, Surah Al-Baqarah. Ayah number 8, Surah Ali Imran.
ayah number 16, Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 38, Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 53. All these ayahs are the dua that we should be memorizing and then inshallah make a part of it. And the last slide that you see is the dua for seeking hukum, seeking wisdom. Remember, this is a theme for the today, that we all need the hukum, the wisdom. This is why this is the dua. You can write down the ayah number. Basically, this is three ayahs of Surah Shu'ara. The first ayah is Rabbi habli hukman wa alhiqni bisalihin. My Lord, grant me authority and join me with the righteous. This dua is so complete because now you're asking to, oh Allah, make me live with the hikmah in this life and join me with the righteous people. Give me the company of the righteous people. And then what else do you say? This is second ayah, is really beautiful. And grant me a reputation of honor among latter generations. Meaning even if I die, people would remember you and I with a great name. Meaning your good deeds and your good work will continue. Remember the ayah of the giving that we learned? That when you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you die, people get and keep on reaping the benefit from their giving, so people will remember and they will mention your name in the latter generations to come. It is because of them. They did the good work and they're gone, but we're reaping the benefits. And then place me among the inheritors of the garden of the pleasure. How beautiful. May Allah make it possible for us to really come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and make the Quran as a priority, the steering wheel of our life navigation, and we sit in a boat of Quran and navigate our way to Jannah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Is my voice clear? Everybody can hear me? Alhamdulillah. The screen was gone and I thought maybe I lost you all. Subhanallah. What a powerful juz. Alhamdulillah, every day we just feel like that it is loaded. Alhamdulillah. And we successfully completed our target for today. I would like you all to please share any thoughts or lessons you took from today's session, inshallah wa ta'ala. So then we can conclude our class. Quickly we can do that, inshallah. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best of planners, alhamdulillah, no doubt about that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hikmah, the wisdom, to trust His plans, inshallah wa ta'ala. We must live and die with iman. Yes, of course, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen, zum ameen. Pick up some beautiful du'as. Indeed, all the du'as are so beautiful. Islam is the only true religion. Yes, indeed. Spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah is friend of believers. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Danger of interest. Yes, alhamdulillah. Loving Allah should manifest in our hearts, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah is all-knowing and all-forgiving. Yes, alhamdulillah, rewards of giving. Yes, alhamdulillah. We talked about shaitan too, see, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He makes us spend on fahisha, and then He makes us scared with poverty if we are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for pious child, yes, alhamdulillah. May Allah forgive us. Ameen to ameen. Give from what we have that is halal. Keep our promises. Yes, alhamdulillah. Long list. Inshallah, ta'ala, we will discuss tomorrow too. But just now, we're just touching the base. And then, did you see the importance of intention? How important it is? Even if we are doing any righteous deed, but the intention is so very important. It's the seed of everything. If the seed is not right, then the fruit is not right. Right? So it is so very important. So let's make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's raza and akhirah our priority and strive towards it. We will not trust the circumstances, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and generosity, inshallah wa ta'ala. Take good care of yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, protect us from any evil, any shar there is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in beneficial knowledge. May we are truly guided by our Lord and may we are saved from going astray. May we live and die on Iman and may we are saved from going astray. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ آمين ثم آمين. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا for an excellent participant of this alhamdulillah a beneficial journey through Quran. Inshallah wa ta'ala, if life permitted, we will see you all tomorrow with Juz 4th, Biznillah. And take yourself, inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll see you tomorrow. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa asan lidha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.